Yeah. Well, you're about to meet Tasha Skonis. She's from Success because her partner Gary is from the United Kingdom and he's been working on a 457 visa as a floor finisher for just under 2 years. He is 44 years of age. Now, about 10 days ago on the 7th of July, the company that he works for went into liquidation. Now, he's been offered sponsorship with several other companies because he is excellent in his field, so we're told, and he's a great asset to any company. But where do floor finishers now appear on Australia's 457 list? It appears as though Gary may be struggling to get a job. Tasha joins me on Perth Live this afternoon. G'day, Tasha.
Yeah, hi. How are you going?
That's sort of it in a nutshell, isn't it? So Gary has had a job for a couple of years. He's very good at his work, but because he was here on a 457 visa, no longer does his particular skill fall under any of that category, and he's staring at what, basically having to leave Australia.
Well, that's pretty much exactly right. And the thing is, like, reading his visa, and I've read it back to front a million times, nowhere does it state, you know, it says requirements for you to stop working for your sponsor. There's three options: find another employer willing to nominate you, find another visa, or make appropriate arrangements to depart Australia. But it doesn't say anywhere, like, this is subject to that profession being on the list, or this is subject to policy change, or it being taken on off the list. It's just, he's completely distraught about the fact that he may have to leave Australia due to no fault of his own. The company went into liquidation.
And, Tasha, he has had a few other offers already from other companies wanting to hire him.
He certainly has. He's had at least three or four offers for companies willing to pick up his sponsorship straight away. He hasn't worked for a week and a half, and that's never been him. He's always been a worker. He doesn't even know what to do in his days. Like, he's just completely distraught. And, you know, we went to his immigration worker that did his first visa, and she's just like, it's been taken off the list. There's no hope.
So that's basically it, because it's off the list. Too bad, so sad, effectively. Gary, you've got to move back to the UK.
Well, pretty much. And this is a guy that, you know, has worked in Australia. He's paid taxes. He's been given the right to have a car under finance, a rental property. And what, these are all jeopardised because of, you know, someone in April deciding to take his profession off the list.
And obviously, Tasha, you're telling me as well, he's a hard worker, he's got job offers, there's people who want to employ him, but they can't fill out the necessary paperwork to be able to keep him.
That's exactly right.
So what can he do? Is he able to appeal to anybody? Can a prospective employer take up the opportunity to try and appeal this if he's so good at his job and somebody wants to employ him? Is there any way around it?
I have no clue. That's why I'm ringing you. Like, we just don't know what the process is. We don't know who to approach. I mean, I've gone as far as emailing the immigration federal minister myself on Wednesday and got an auto email back, a response. So we haven't been able to speak to anyone, you know, in regards to this that has any idea or if there's any change possible.
Tasha, just hold the line there for a moment because we're going to be bringing in Sheila Woods this afternoon, the Managing Director of Interstaff and Migration Expert. Sheila, good afternoon.
Hi, Oliver. How are you?
I'm good. You've just heard what Tasha's outlined there with her partner, Gary. I'm assuming with the changes to the 457 working visas in Australia, this might be something that you're hearing more and more.
Yes, we've heard an awful lot of very similar stories since April. People who have been working here for, you know, 2 years or maybe longer, some up to, you know, 4 or 5, even 6 years, and they've been caught out by the sort of sudden change, the fact that it wasn't announced, and the fact often that it's retrospective in nature. So for Tasha's partner, you know, if he'd managed to, if the company hadn't gone into liquidation, he probably would have had a pathway to stay. But for people like him who have been caught out through no fault of their own, it's made it extremely difficult because there's no indication from the department at this stage that there will be options, the transitional arrangements for people stuck like that.
So people have been caught. Yeah, so a few people have been caught out in a similar circumstance. Is there ultimately anything anything that Tasha and Gary can do here, Sheila, to try and appeal this decision? If there is a prospective employer out there who's saying, I don't mind giving Gary a job, he's very good at what he does, can you try and appeal it? Or because of these changes that have occurred, is it quite black and white?
It's very black and white, yeah. So it's not possible to appeal something unless there's a decision on it. But of course, you can't apply to get the decision because there's nothing on the list that the occupation's been removed. It is available, for 457 visas, occupations have been removed, but sometimes those same occupations are available for other types of visas. But typically for regional employers in the bush, for employers that, which, you know, may not work for everyone. If you've got a family and relationship in the city, you might not, you know, be able to move regionally, but that potentially is an option. Otherwise it is very black and white. And I think that's the hardest thing that people experience when they feel, like Tasha was saying, you know, they've paid tax, been employed, have obligations here, rental properties and cars and things, but the migration laws don't really take account of those things. It's really about permission to work or not.
Yeah, sure.
It's very black and white.
There's nothing there about personal circumstances. It's just these are the new rules and you effectively have to adhere to them.
That's exactly right, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Sheila, what would your advice be to Tasha this afternoon?
I'd probably say go and get some advice from an agent like us or somebody else that you know, because there could be options regionally. The other thing would be to think about, is he qualified as anything maybe other than a floor finisher that might still be on the list? Sometimes that happens. You know, carpenter is different than carpenter joiner, but one might be on the list, one might not. So those options should also be considered as well. But that's the best thing I could do, is to say get some thorough advice to count out all the options you possibly can to see what's there for you.
Sheila Woods, thank you for your expertise.
No worries. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. She's the Managing Director of Interstaff and Migration Expert. Let's bring back Tasha Skonis now. Tasha, I'm assuming what you've just heard from Sheila has been the similar advice that you've already been receiving when trying to deal here with Gary's case, and it must be terribly frustrating.
It's gut-wrenching, to be honest. Really upsetting.
Because ultimately, he's your partner. Has he got other family or friends here as well?
He's got two siblings that are on PR here. He's got a whole bunch of friends. You know, it's just, I don't know what next to do.
Well, we have put a call in this afternoon to the Immigration Minister, Peter Dutton's office, and we will provide that, obviously, to our listeners and obviously to you, Tasha, if we get any response. But it does sound as though you should be trying to talk to someone here like Sheila Woods or similar as well. And we'll certainly stay on the case with you, Tasha, because your mind boggles at the thought here,
yes,
that you've got somebody like Gary, who obviously is a good worker. People want him to work in his business. He obviously loves living here in Western Australia. You love him. You want him to stay. Definitely. Why can't he stay?
Exactly. Why can't he stay?
You know, we've got some people that come in here and they decide that they'll just sit on welfare or bludge the system. Gary doesn't sound like that at all, and that's not the case for Gary, because you said he's got job offers. He's obviously very good at what he does. So we're going to stay on the case here on Perth Live, Tasha, and try and help you out and see if there's anything that can be done here. But unfortunately, as Sheila's indicated to us this afternoon, it seems like a pretty difficult road you're going to be travelling down.
It certainly does, but I'm prepared to travel that road. I will exhaust every avenue that I have to.
And we're there right with you, Tasha. Thanks for bringing this to our attention on Perth Live.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tasha Skonis there. As I said, the mind shakes this afternoon when you think about it. Gary's been here for a couple of years, works very hard. The company he worked for went into liquidation. And if other companies now want to sponsor him because they know he's good at his job, why can't they? Why can't he stay? 9221 882. You might have a view about this if you'd like to join the program this afternoon.